So we got a lot of people joining us. Rasheshwari, Anton, Jaya Radhika from Australia, Purna Pragya, Narada Muni, Beatrix, Kamala, Leela Shakti from the United States, Deepshika from Australia, from Melbourne, Gaurav Gopal, Jai Shri, a lot of people, Krishna Priya, Nanda, Dr. Suresh. Okay, welcome to Govardhan. Here we are live from Govardhan. So now we're going to be reading a verse from the Bhagavatam. And what we could do now is take questions from people online after I read and comment a few things about it. So we're going to read from the 11th canto, 5th verse, text 32, which is an extremely important verse, which most of you will know. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Long purport here. So, the verse is as follows, and I'll just read the verse and we'll go on. Krishna Varanam Twisha Krishnam Sangopanga Shaparshadam Yajai Sankirtana Prayai Yajanti Hi Sumeda Saha. I guess we can do word by words. Krishna Varanam.
Krishna Varanam.
Repeating the syllables Krishna.
Repeating the syllables Krishna.
Twisha,
Twisha,
with a luster,
with a luster.
Akrishnam,
Akrishnam,
not black, golden,
not black, golden.
Sa-anga,
Sa-anga,
along with associates,
along with associates.
Upa-anga,
Upa-anga,
servitors,
servitors.
Astra,
Astra,
weapons,
weapons.
Parshanam,
Parshanam,
confidential companions.
Companion.
Yajnai.
By
sacrifice.
Sankirtana.
Prayai. Consisting chiefly of congregational chanting. Yajante.
They worship.
He.
Certainly.
Sumedasaha.
Intelligent persons.
The translation: in the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associate servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So, performed by the servants of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. The same verse is quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 3, verse 52. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has given the following commentary on this verse. This text is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.5.32. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam known as the Krama Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. Who knows the name of the incarnation of Satya Yuga? Sukla. Who knows the incarnate name? In, this is one of the names. Who knows the name in Treta Yuga?
No,
it
would be red.
No, what's the Sanskrit name? Raka.
Oh, I see.
Look at him. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Garga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears in three other colors, red, white, and yellow. He exhibited his white and red complexions in the Satya and Treta ages respectively. He did not exhibit the remaining color, yellow gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is also known as Gaudahari. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna Varnam, is actually Prabhupada's commentary, means Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. The name Krishna appears with both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does anyone know what Krishna Varnam means? Means someone who's a, in this particular case, it means someone who is always chanting the names of Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme personality of Godhead, but he always engages in describing Krishna, is what Prabhupada is saying, and thus enjoying transcendental bliss by chanting and remembering his name and form. Lord Krishna himself appears as Lord Chaitanya to preach the highest gospel. Varnayati means utters or describes. Lord Chaitanya always chants the holy name of Krishna and describes it also, and because he is Krishna himself, whoever meets him will automatically chant the holy name of Krishna and later describe it to others. He injects one with transcendental Krishna consciousness, which merges the chanter in transcendental bliss. In all respects, therefore, he appears before everyone as Krishna, either by personality or by sound. Simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya, one at once remembers Lord Krishna. One may therefore accept him as Vishnu Tattva. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself. Sangopangashta Parshadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and sandalwood paste. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of the age. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac. But in this age, the Lord subdues them with his all-attractive figure as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his astra, or weapon, to subdue the demons. Because he is all-attractive, it is to be understood that all the demigods live with him as his companions. His acts were uncommon and his associates wonderful. When he propagated the Sankirtan movement, he attracted many great scholars and acharyas, especially in Bengal and in Orissa. Lord Chaitanya is always accompanied by his best associates like Lord Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, and Srivas. Srila Jiva Goswami cites a verse from the Vedic literature that says there is no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. He comments that instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibitions, all people, regardless of caste, color, or creed, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam Tvishala Krishnam indicates that prominence should be given to the name Krishna. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and chanted the name of Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should together chant the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. To propagate worship in churches, temples, or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere, people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus, worshiping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a famous disciple of Lord Chaitanya, said that the principle of transcendental devotional service having been lost, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared to deliver again the process of devotion. He is so kind that he is distributing love of Krishna. Everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet as humming bees are attracted to a lotus flower. This incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also described in the Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, which appears in chapter 189 of the Dana Dharma Parv of the Mahabharata. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted this reference as follows. Suvarna Varno Himango Varangas Chandanangadi. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful and his body smeared with the pulp of sandalwood seems like molten gold. He is also quoted, Sannyasa Krich Chama Shantunishta Shanti Parayanaha. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyasa order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. And a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the case of various Kali Yugas, the avatar's color is black. However, this color is not gross. It shines, a Krishnam, with brilliance, Tvisha, like a sapphire. Well, he's describing Krishna's complexion like a sapphire. It's interesting. In one particular Kali Yuga, it is black, but is also not black, a Krishnam. But Gaura are yellow, shining externally, since the remaining color in Garga's description after mentioning white, red, and Shama is Pitta, Pita, yellow. This avatar is internally black and externally yellow or golden. Another meaning of Krishna Varna is he speaks about the pastimes of Krishna. The phrase Sangopangastra Parshadam has the same meaning for both the normal Kali Yuga avatars and the covered form. The intelligent people worship this form by the path of service, Yajnai, predominated by Sankirtana. Only those who have splendid intelligence, Sumedha Saha, who understand the real meaning of the statement of Garga, Tata Pita Idanim Krishna Kamgataha, from the Bhagavatam 10th canto, Pallad's words, Chana Kalo, Srimad Bhagavatam 7, 9:38, that means, Chana means like hidden in Kali Yuga, and Kalavapi Tata Shunu, worship the form of Lord Chaitanya and not others. It's a nice commentary. So, any questions? Anybody online have questions? We're going to give you all the opportunity to ask questions. Questions?
Commentary yours?
What?
Your commentary?
No, I'm the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary.
But I mean, are you going to have a commentary?
Well, it's pretty obvious. I mean, what can I say after those commentaries? That those who have enough intelligence should do Sankirtan. What is Sankirtan? The word Sankirtan means two different things. It means congregational chanting and also complete chanting. Sang means with, basically. And kirtan means to glorify. So the acharyas have described that complete chanting, of course, means completely absorbed chanting in Krishna's name. And chanting with others means getting people to chant the holy names, however or whatever method you can utilize to get people to chant the holy names.
What is this complete chanting?
Complete chanting means, well, first of all, the negative injunctions, avoiding the 10 offenses. And secondly, studying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastika to express your particular relationship with the holy name from your heart. In other words, Lord Chaitanya Shikshastika, each and every verse of the Shikshastika refers to devotees, or perhaps you as an individual, at a specific level of devotional service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Madhurya Kadambini relates each verse of the Shikshastika with a particular level of devotional service, like a Dhoshrata Tata, Sarasangota, Bhajana Kriya, etc. For example, like the first verse, and also relates it with each time of the day in Krishna's Ashtakaliya Lila, and also relates it with the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Different verses refer to that. But of course, first verse is obviously Sambandha, and then after that you get into Abhideya. Yeah, and second verse is partially Sambandha, partially Abhideya. So it's important to study Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastika and enter into the emotional mood, because one's supposed to chant with their heart, not just hearing the sound vibration, but the sound vibration has to be resonated in the heart.
So it sounds like you're saying that just hearing
is not sufficient.
That sounds like
I mean, it's the beginning.
That would be not pure, but
Namabhash. So that would be in the beginning stage of devotional service. But one has to be chanting with some intention, and those intentions are what we call sankalpa. Sankalpas are given by Lord Chaitanya Shikshastra. Like you can pray, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Buddho Kripyata Padapadja Sittidal Duli Sadhar Samachintya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, that somehow or other you've invested all your transcendental potency. I am your servant, O son of Nanda Maharaj. Kinkaram. Patita mam, but I've fallen down Vishame Bhavambudo in this horrible ocean of birth and death. Kripaya padapankaja. Please, by your mercy, pick me up and situate me as Sita Duli Sadrasambhajintya, as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So that's generally that's the verse that relates to how Prabhupada instructed us to chant. Like Prabhupada said.
That's number five, right?
Yeah, crying out. Crying out
like
a child for his mother. You know, generally that's the mood that Prabhupada instructed us. You know, of course there's also Nayanam Galu Dash not that verse, that's too elevated for us. Nam nam kari dvahuda nivija sarva shaktista trapita nivatasmada nena kala etadrashi tava kripa bhagavan namapi durdaiva nidrasham aya jani nanu raga. That oh my god, even the mobile phones can go for them.
Sorry, the first time that she rang, I can ask my mother, should I call her?
Yeah, mother can get any time. You can call her back.
She'll call back. So.
Yeah,
she's not
dying.
Just mute it.
Yeah. You don't need to get it now.
Yeah, just mute it. I'll do it.
She'll be out. She's not dying now.
Yeah.
So.
she'll try this one, and then she'll try Skype and WhatsApp.
Just mute it.
So my dear Lord, even though you invested all your transcendental, actually the second verse is like a lamentation. Even though you've invested all your transcendental potency in their holy names, but I'm extremely unfortunate because I have no taste for these nanuraga. I have no taste for these things. So they're all like emotional expressions. Actually, if you read the Shikshashika properly, you'll see they're expressions of bhav. And the best translations for the Shikshashika are those given by Śrīla Prabhupāda in the last chapter of the Anchalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The translations we have generally in the songbook are not as accurate as the ones that Śrīla Prabhupāda gives in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oops. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
Sometimes in devotional life, we try and do different things with devotion as it should be. And then sometimes it almost happens that maybe we become complacent or we just kind of, just let's say, for example, I saw you offer Bhogan to Giraj the other day, and I was just actually, it was just, going down and ringing the bell, and I was thinking, well, Gurudev probably did that for these last 40 years. Do you know what I mean? Like just
40 years.
More than 40 years, probably 50, right?
Well, not quite that much.
Years,
how many years? Let's say I joined the movement in 71, and now it's
47 years.
47 years, yeah.
Okay, I guess my question is, what would be your advice for someone who has maybe because of, years of practicing accidentally or because of offenses become a little bit complacent or things, oh, it's okay, I can just do it like this, or I can just put the offering in front of, let's say, the deity, but and just ring the bell and go, because I've seen that as well.
Well, complacency is normal. Most people become complacent. It's not because of offenses. If complacency is offensive, but it's not because of offenses you become complacent. What I prescribe, of course, you didn't attend my course last summer in Serbia. We talked about this. What I prescribe is that when you're saying the prayers, you actually think of the meaning of them. The problem is, that we say these prayers and we just say them, and we don't think about what they mean. So if you actually thought about what they meant, you would become ecstatic as you were saying the prayers. And, you know, oftentimes I give the example that people in ISKCON generally refer to the Guru Vashtika prayers as the samsara prayers, which is actually a misnomer. Misnomer. Because that means the prayers for material entanglement. So we don't do the samsara prayers, we do Guru Vashtika prayers. And generally people just chant them without remembering that, for example, Mahaprabhu, Kirtanam, Richagita, they actually pronounce it wrong anyway. Most devotees pronounce Mahaprabhu, Kirtanam, Nichagita. But it's not, that's wrong.
It's Mahaprabhu.
Mahaprabhu, Kirtanam, Richagita. Richa. There's a difference between Nicha and Richa. You hear the difference? Nicha means eternal, and Richa means like dancing. So, Mahaprabhu, Kirtanam, Richa, Gita. That when the spiritual master hears the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he starts dancing. It doesn't mean, Nicha Gita would mean he's always singing, which doesn't really mean that much. Isn't it? I mean, you think when he hears it, he sings. But it's Richa Gita. He starts singing and dancing. And then he feels Vaditramadhyan Manasa. He feels quivering in his body on account of spiritual trance. Romancha. He feels the hairs standing on end. Tarangavajo. And then tears come from his eyes like torrents of rain. Anyway, so if you actually think about what you're chanting, whether it's the offering prayers, and or you know the Guru Vashtika or whatever, you know, whatever you're singing, then you actually come in contact with the Supreme Lord, and you don't become complacent. But see, we have a problem in Krishna consciousness is that a lot of our stuff is in a foreign language. And that really, let's say, facilitates us becoming complacent, you know, and becoming ritualistic. And as Prabhupada commented, that English is just as transcendental as Sanskrit. I may offend somebody by saying that. If it's used for Krishna, you know, if you're glorifying Krishna in English. And of course, we don't say the Maha Mantra in English. That would be kind of foolish. But we basically need more prayers in what we call the vernacular. You know what vernacular means? Local language. Like, vernacular means the language that people speak in a particular country. Like, you see, the great success of Krishna consciousness in Bengal, of course you have Lord Chaitanya, but really Krishna consciousness became widely spread in Bengal because of Narottama Das Thakur. And his strategy was to put Krishna consciousness and prayers to Krishna into the vernacular. Like Prabhupada comments on that he put it in ordinary Bengali. Like his Bengali is not Sarvabhash. You know, Sarvabhash is actually high Bengali, like they have in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You filming me?
No.
That's good.
My mother's having an emergency.
Emergency?
Not really.
Yeah. Well, emergency. She's dying all over.
No,
she's
having an emotional emergency.
No. Electricity issues over there.
Electricity.
I mean, it's not an emergency.
Electricity went off?
Some of it, yeah. It's okay. I mean, you know, it's not...
She's not having an emergency, let's put it that way.
Okay. Everybody is watching us. You got these hundreds of people watching us, so...
Sorry.
Talking about your mother. So anyway, so anyway, getting back to the point is that Narottama Das Thakur wrote poetry in simple Bengali, probably called it simple Bengali. And of course, in addition to his great purity or because of his great purity, obviously it's not that anybody can write poetry and it would affect people. But that was the key, one of the main keys to success. Because when you chant it, if you're Bengali, you can actually understand what you're chanting. That's why if you ever watch one of the Bengali devotees chanting Bengali songs, there's so much emotion when they're doing it. And with the devotees who don't understand, you know, what they're chanting, when they're chanting, it's emotion, but it's not really in the same, to the same depth. So, anyway, so it's a challenge. I'm not suggesting we put all of our songs in English. That's not my suggestion. So we have more of a challenge while we're saying all of our mantras. I mean, let's say, let's say if we said the offering mantra in English, and we said, you know, I offer my obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti, you know, for me, it would be A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, so dear to Krishna, having taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Then I think it would be easier just to be more connected on a mental platform, at least, than saying to my own Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shivadi Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani. Or namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nivasasis Nivadi Paschata
Deishita. Unless you really knew every single word.
Well, unless you actually, yes. So it takes extra concentration.
You said one time though that even if you do know the language, and even if it is in your language, you said this, that you still can become complacent just as easily.
Yeah, oh yeah, in English you can keep repeating things too, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what in here in India, they teach English repeating, but it's all robotic.
Yeah, it's all robotic. No, you don't want to be robotic, but it's easier to be robotic when you're saying something you don't understand.
Yeah.
Or it takes a double, let's say, attempt or endeavor to be able to think of what you're chanting when it's a foreign language.
Yeah.
And you're not thinking in that language. See, we generally think in the language that we speak. So even if I know the words in Sanskrit, I'm actually translating it in my mind. But when I use English words, I don't translate my mind because obviously I understand. And I had the same experience when, because I, you know, Spanish is like my second language. So when I first go somewhere where they're speaking Spanish, I'm translating. But after a week or two, then I start to think in Spanish. And when I'm thinking in Spanish, then you really enter into the mood of what the whole discussion is. So I think, you know, the answer to your question, it's a challenge. You got to remember and translate in your own mind the meaning of the verses that you're reciting. You know, doing the offering, you know, and like Namo Mahabhava Nyaya. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is supremely merciful. Krishna Prema, because he's given freely. Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna. Anyway, so if you think like that, then actually you remain connected and it's not ritualistic. I think someone has a question. Oh, no question. Just Hare Krishna, dear Gurudev. Okay.
If you want more questions.
Well, people in TV land. Let's get people in TV land. Anybody in TV land have any questions? No? Nobody in TV land. You're all self-satisfied.
Self-realized.
All right. It's late. Oh. So we have a question there. Oh, Krishna Priya does. All right, what's the question? Speak now, forever hold your peace. No? We'll take another question from our local audience here. We have about 25 devotees.
I have a question that's not exactly related, but, you know, because this verse is predicting Lord Chaitanya, I was thinking about how, you know, we know that incarnation is an incarnation based on various
scriptures.
Yeah, based on the scripture predicting them, and based on, you know, the marks of hands and feet and their uncommon activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So of course, here in India, there's been so many false gods.
Yeah.
You know, and I know someone who's very, very much in love with Krishna.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for this person, but they're, you know, they'll chant Satya Sai Baba's name in the same, you know, Hare Krishna mantra sometimes.
Hmm.
You know,
Hindu.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's some, I have some confusion, you know.
Well, there's actually a lot of scriptures that Bhaktivedanta Thakur cites that detail what the incarnation's mother's name would be, father's name would be, and there's stuff like that too. And, you know, there's characteristics. I mean, Lord Chaitanya did a lot of amazing things, like getting the tigers and lions to chant Hare Krishna. And the most of these bogus personalities can do is, I was actually studying how they did this, is creating a Shiva Linga from their mouth. And the reason I was studying it, I wasn't studying to do it, but I wanted to find out how they did it. You know, what was the procedure? Because obviously if you swallow something, then, you know, obviously you're not going to bring it up that easily. So then I came across a magician who was, he did this magical trick on a stage that he would open his mouth and frogs would come out of his mouth.
Didn't you do that recently?
Yeah.
And water too, right?
Yeah, water and frogs would come out of his mouth. And they were alive. Mm-hmm. So obviously they'd gotten there somehow or other. It's not that they had little tadpoles and they grew mm-hmm. to be full-fledged frogs. But they were actually alive and they came out and they were jumping and everything like that. And so then I started the whole analysis, maybe you saw that too, that he learned there's a sphincter or something in the tube that goes down to the stomach. He learned how to control that so that, you know, he could keep it there. Even before, he did it before the stage performance, he just kept it there. And then he was able to activate it through, I guess, what we call peristaltic action, you know, whatever. And so the frogs came out. I just think, poor frogs. Because if the frogs had gone down in the stomach acid, they would have been fried or destroyed. So basically, that's what these people do. I mean, they do all these, like, cheap mystical tricks, not even good mystical tricks. And so when is, have any of them gotten like tigers and lions to chant the holy name?
Well, my question is, since this is someone that I really have a lot of respect for, and yeah. I have some anxiety, what's her destination? I mean, her mother actually met Srila Prabhupada, and she spent the last years of her life constantly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra.
Yeah, that's good.
You know,
anyway, Krishna will save them because they're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. They're like innocent and naive about these things. Krishna will help them, and not they'll go back to Godhead. But first they have to accept the initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, and then they can make spiritual progress. But certainly they've heard the Hare Krishna mantra from devotees, so they're making some advancement. But it's just a philosophical misunderstanding. Like there's different, even within Vaishnavism, there's different deviant Vaishnava groups. And they accept Lord Chaitanya even. You know, Saki Bakis, like that, and all these other different groups. So one has to understand the, what we call the Siddhanta. Siddhanta means two things. Siddhanta, actually, Siddha means perfection or something like that, power. Anta, conclusion or end. So they have to understand the perfect conclusion, which consists of two categories. One is, called tattva. Tattva in English, an English word for that would be called ontology. You know, the nature of something. The nature of something. That basically, that's what ontology is. And also, part of tattva is the relationship between the different categories, such as the material energy, the spiritual energy, the living entity, the Shaktis of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, this is, that's all tattva, you know, relationship. That's called sambandha. Sambandha, definitely sambandha directly means relationships. You know, how does one aspect of reality, of something, Tattva means that which exists, you know, something that's real. How does one aspect of the reality, different aspects of the reality, relate to each other? That's called sambandha. Interesting. And then there's the other aspect of Siddhanta is called rasa. You have rasa theology. You know, rasa theology. So it's important to understand both of those in order to understand Vaishnavism, I mean, Lord Chaitanya's position. You know, tattva and ras, and that's all part of Siddhanta. And that's why Lord Chaitanya and his followers have the most, not Lord Chaitanya himself, because he didn't write anything other than the 8 verses on the holy name. So that's why Lord Chaitanya and his followers, they have the most voluminous literatures of practically any religion in the world. I mean, you have the Tattva Sandarbha, the Krama Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha, Priti Sandarbha, Vaikita Goswami, and then you have all these elaborate books by the other Goswamis. This is Sanatana Goswami's books, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Hari Bhakti Vilas, the Nirupa Goswami's books, originally Nilamani, dealing with. He was the Rasa Acharya. Rupa Goswami is considered the Rasa Acharya. It was his books like Nectar and Devotion, Bhakti Rasa Mrita Sindhu, Ujjala Nilamani dealt with Ras and how to develop Ras. Anyway, so it's very elaborate proofs of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, it's very scientific. Whereas you find these other groups like Satya Sai Bhoga and his people, sorry if I'm offending anybody, they don't have that same sort of theology there, developed theology. And there's no prediction that God will appear in such a fashion as Satya Sai Bhoga, Satya Sai Baba, sorry, was, yeah.
So, I guess the question is, you have these people who are blindly faithful.
Yuck, live frogs. Someone got sick when I just blindly faithful?
They're blindly faithful. They have like this, I guess, sentimentality.
Yeah.
And they trust that Krishna is God, but then they start thinking all these other people are expansions too. You know?
Krishna says, don't disturb the minds who are attached, either materially or bogus spiritually attached, but encourage them to work in a spirit of devotion. That's all you can do.
So is Krishna accepting someone's prayer if they're looking at a picture of Sai Baba and saying, dear Sai, but they're
no, they're not accepting that. Krishna. No, because Krishna says one decides to devote himself to a particular deity, that he makes that person's faith strong. He's reciprocating from within the heart.
This is Krishna. That's the thought process. This is Krishna.
That's like thinking the demigods are the same as Krishna. You know, same. It's a Vinnie Purvakam.
Would they be maybe in their next life be given like an opportunity?
Because they're saying Krishna's name, then there's Namabhash there.
I mean, I see that in her practical life that she's highly advanced, like, you know, she's constantly talking about Krishna, and she's peaceful.
Yeah, I mean, so it's mixed.
She's basically self-satisfied.
It's mixed because she was exposed, obviously, to Prabhupada, one way or the other, in Prabhupada's teachings, right?
Yeah, oh, very much so.
So, it's mixed. But also there can be sentimental, I mean, like you find the Sahajas, they're constantly talking about Krishna, too. That doesn't necessarily indicate their level of advancement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
but I also see that she's just so peaceful and accepting of everything as Krishna's mercy and Jesus.
Yeah, so it's not an all or nothing thing, but she has a misunderstanding, complete misunderstanding. It's obvious to any impartial observer, from any, you know, anybody with intelligence, such as I thought was not God. It's obvious.
What kind of attachment is that? That somebody is, you know, fixated that all these different demigods, all these different people, like, where does that come? Why do they maintain that idea? Oh,
past, could be past lives. Yeah, who knows? I mean, like for example, Mayapur is very fixated that I'm a great devotee.
Who knows?
You know, he's a complete illusion, you know, but he's just thinking, he has these dreams where he sees me floating in the air, you know, descending from Goloka Vrindavan or something like that. But at least he's chanting Hare Krishna. You know, so I guess what can you do, you know? People have issues, you know.
That's funny. That's your example.
Yeah, what can you do? At least you're chanting on Krishna. But if you hear Krishna's pastimes from a bona fide source, then you make spiritual advancement. You know, you may have a little attachment. I mean, people have attachments in this world and misunderstandings. So at least they're hearing from Prabhupada or chanting Krishna's names. And, you know, that's an attachment. You know,
we'll so in a sense, like a namabhash then?
Yeah, it's like an attachment. It's a little attachment that someone has. I wouldn't, you know, as long as the person's not thinking that everybody's God.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little sentimental attachment that they really have to get rid of, ultimately, to go back to God. But, you know, at least they're chanting, hearing Krishna's pastimes, or whatever, vegetarian, offering food to Krishna.
Yep.
You know, that's, you gotta look at the good side. Okay, I think it's time to end. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll give you a view of